You're not going to believe this. It's the news, according to me. Good evening, or good morning, or good day, whatever time it is for you, wherever you are in the world today. Unless you're a flat earther, then I don't know how that works out for the time thing. Not sure how that's supposed to work. The time is 10:23 Eastern Standard Time, Monday, October 10th. I might be posting this tomorrow morning. I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to do this yet. It is late tonight. I have to get up at 5 o'clock. Well, actually, I have to be out the door at 5 o'clock in the morning, tomorrow morning. So I am probably not going to be doing a show tomorrow morning, needless to say. Hopefully, I'll be waking up about 4. My mouse battery is very low. Just so you know, I thought you might want to know that. My mouse battery is very low. I wonder what's it looking like here. 1%. Yeah, I probably should plug that in. Well, I'm not going to be doing any surfing, I guess, while we're doing this show. I'm going to be plugging my mouse in, which means I will not be able to use it for a while. I have, I really don't need it unless I do surfing or something. If I look around, I basically want to talk about two things. One is probably the most important thing is what's in my cup. I have some, you could call it extremely weak tea, or you could just call it water. I think for the sake of the show, we'll just call it water. There's no tea in sight in that cup. It has a little bit of a tinge of a little bit of V8 Fusion in it, because I had V8 Fusion earlier in that cup, and then I rinsed that out and filled it with water. So there's still a little bit of that residual V8 Fusion flavor there, which is kind of just, it's like having a little bit of lemon in your, it's like, you know, putting a little slice of lemon in your water, almost. But it's not that same flavor, it's not lemon flavor, but it's, that just has that hint of a flavor there. A lot of people do that just to hide the chlorine in their water. If it's bad tasting water, they put a little lemon in there. Oh, that's there, now it's good water. Just take some of that Flint water and why don't they just do that they could just go up to the water tower and put a couple of lemons in there. A bunch of lemon slices. That'd fix that water right up. Take care of all the lead and poison and all the other stuff that they were getting. Yeah. So there's a guy by the name of this. If you ever look back at some of the issues, there's a guy by the name of Chris Krebs. Now, this guy, he was born in 1977, but I swear this guy has been around a while. And if I just, what's weird about this guy is that he either looks just like somebody who was a radical left-wing leftist guy. I just don't know where I've seen this guy before. But supposedly, he worked for he was the head of cybersecurity for the nation. I think in 2017 or 2018, something like that. And then, you know, 2020 rolls around. It was right before 2019, I think. Of course, 2020 rolls around with the election, and he comes, and he supposedly is a Republican. He doesn't look like any Republican I've normally seen. However, this guy is totally in with the establishment Republicans, which, again, makes me think this guy is a leftist lunatic. Not necessarily lunatic, I just, that they're, you know, they all kind of fit that bill. I don't know. The radical, I'm talking about the radical leftists, they all seem to be a little bit wacky in the membrane. And they just like to yell and scream and call names, and all the things that they're doing is what they're accusing everybody else of doing. It's this projection thing. It just boggles my mind the way this works, isn't it? There's no discussion. It's just you're right, they're right, you're wrong, and you're racist if you don't agree with anything that they say. It just blows my mind. The kind of mentality they have. Chris Krebs. this guy has been showing up in the news again lately because they're talking about the security of the elections. Now, this is the guy who came out and said that the 2020 elections were the most secure ever in the country. He was the one who started that whole thing. Because he was, you know, he was the head of cybersecurity. Now, granted, he was fired not long after that. I think he was only in place there for about a year. Amazingly enough, and this is why I really am suspect of this guy. I don't think he's ever been on Fox News. But MSNBC, CNN, ABC, they all have him on all the time. He's like a major contributor to many of these networks. That's very rare for a Republican. Now, not for a conservative, I should say. For an establishment Republican, yeah, that happens all the time. But the way they talk to the guy, you'd think he's their best buddies. Which, you know, there's no opposition. There's no, what's the word? There's no calling on the carpet, or there's nothing that they call out on this guy. It's a strange bedfellow to think that he's a Republican with the way they treat Republicans on most of those programs and the credibility they give this guy. And they treat him as if he is, a high standing authority on the issues of cybersecurity. Now, in the past, he's had very long hair, which is not a big deal. But he's been trimming it back again. Now, the thing is that he's coming out again and talking about the 2022 elections. Now, they're getting prepared. They are getting prepared to start to scream about the Russians hacking things. I guess they're claiming now that there was some kind of a hack into the a whole bunch of websites from airlines today. I didn't hear about it on the news. I actually heard about it from my nephew telling me, hey, did you hear about that airline thing? I had no idea. And he was telling me about it. I said, yeah, they're probably just blaming it on the Russians. It probably was some 12-year-old kid in somebody's basement with an iPhone. We hacked all everything. Who knows? Has all the earmarks of Russian propaganda. These people are just ridiculous. How do you live in a phony world like that? Let's have a dose of reality and have a discussion about some real discussions about real issues and try to solve some real problems. Instead of just causing the problems all the time and blaming the problems on, you know, self-awareness is a very tricky thing. I equate a lot of these people as just, they're just 12-year-olds. If you've ever been a teenager, or if you've ever had teenagers, or if you've ever known one, You will know right away that, you know, the preteen 8 years, 11, 12, those years right in there, those kids can be very innocent and yet at the same time they're discovering how to make up stories and make up excuses and get out of trouble when they do something wrong. And they will blame everybody else but themselves. They have a hard time taking responsibility for the things that they do wrong. Making a mistake is one thing, but it's when they deliberately do something wrong, even, that they'll... And that's the way I see. It seems like it's so incredibly obvious sometimes. There was a guy that was recently on the street asking people questions, I think he was at a pro-life or anti, it might have been an anti-life thing of some sort, demonstration or whatever they were doing, protest. And he was asking these people, it was something else. It might have been like a gay pride thing, type thing. I don't talk about this stuff much, but he was probably, I think he was at one of those events. Now he was asking people, he said, so you think it's okay for people, you know, gay people to get married? And this guy was, oh yeah, absolutely. He was asking everybody this. Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with it at all. Yeah. No problem with it. You know, if you love somebody, you know, two consenting adults, that whole thing, you know, going down that whole road. So he was asked, so he'd go on with that. And he'd say, so you think it's okay for a brother and a sister to have, you know, be married as well, if they want to get married? And you'd be surprised at the answers. A lot of them were, I don't like it, but yeah, I guess if, you know, if they're consenting adults, who am I to say what they can and can't do? As long as they don't have kids. Everybody was saying, as long as they don't have kids, because, you know, everybody thinks that you end up with wacky kids if you... You don't necessarily, but too much of that you would, And so they kind of knew in their gut, they were like, they don't like it, but you know, who are they to say? But they were going to restrict them not to have kids. Can't have kids. Well, you know, and then you could have taken it even further. You could have said, what about a parent with a child? They want to marry their child. How about that? They probably would have gone down that road too. Because, see, once you start opening that can of worms, you can't... The logic that you're basing your argument on, this is opening up a big, long thing here. And we can go down this rabbit hole, and it can be very bad. There's just absolutely no moral absolute. And that is the problem. Here's my problem with the, you know, I call myself a libertarian, but I consider myself a conservative libertarian, which is not a part of the Libertarian Party officially. The official Libertarian Party, in my opinion, has some real serious issues with it. It's why, my opinion is why it's never gotten any traction. People say, well, the Libertarian Party can be taking away votes from the Republican Party. I don't know about that for sure. The people are pretty well dug in on the issue of abortion. And the Libertarian Party, that is one of the main issues that they officially, their stance on that is, well, a person should be able to do whatever they want. A woman should do whatever she wants to do with her own body. Now, I heard a statistic recently that 98% of scientists, now these are people involved in reproductive science, not just weathermen and, you know, whatever science, geologists. When they talk about global warming and global climate change and all this kind of stuff, they'll say, well, you know, the consensus is that all these scientists, you know, so many thousands of scientists agree. What expertise are these people's science degrees in? This is, they don't tell you that, and it doesn't, it can be totally irrelevant. How do you qualify to be a scientist? You know, half these people don't even know how to define what a woman is. They're not willing to. And so they go about this whole thing with the issue of marriage and when life begins. And really what the gist of the whole issue, in my opinion, is when does life begin? Because life, you know, you can have all kinds of other arguments. We'll talk about a few things too in the whole abortion issue. But if life begins at a certain time, and it supposedly there's like 98% of scientists believe. Now, I don't know where the statistic came from. I don't know who was polled in this thing. Could have just been 10 people that were scientists. I don't know. Or not, maybe there's 100 of them. I don't know. 90 out of them. And they were, so it, what they believe is that life begins at conception. Now, not all those scientists necessarily believe that a woman does, still doesn't have the right to choose or whatever. And that's where it gets really sticky here, because the Constitution guarantees the right to life as an individual. So when does that life become an individual? When does that life become a person? See, now we're starting to play God here. But it really is the crux of the issue. Because if life begins in the first week, in the first month, in the first trimester, in the second trimester, then that life then becomes a protected life by the Constitution. They have constitutional rights. The Democrat Party, this is the kind of people we're dealing with here. Apparently, the vast majority of them who are willing to vote for these people and to vote for their principles and their found in their print and their platforms, they, if there was no one there to give them any kind of check from the other party, they are all about full-term abortion. In other words, if the mother is in the process of giving birth to a normal, healthy child, they believe that child, if that woman wants to, she can have that baby terminated, killed, before it exits the womb, the technical exit standards, whatever that is. Most of the body's coming out, but the head hasn't come out yet, so they can kill the child. That's what these people are about. And they call others monsters, pigs, disgusting fascists, Nazis, and individuals who are mean, don't care about anybody, heartless. There are politicians now on the left who believe in post-birth abortion, and they are proudly announcing it. There's no shame at all in what they're saying. And I'm not bringing this up to talk about the abortion issue itself. I'm bringing this up to talk about the party. These are the kind of people we're dealing with. Well, that might be one part of it, but the rest of this, the rest of the party, the social issues. That's why I believe in the Democrat Party. That's why I vote Democrat. That's what I hear people saying sometimes. And I hear people on the right, conservatives, who are pro-life. They will say, well, I don't want to be a single-issue voter. Well, I don't know what other issue you think is important, but I... That's like saying, well, this party believes that we should go ahead and nuke all of our neighbors, that we should start a nuclear war. I don't believe in that, but I don't want to be a single issue, you know, person. So I'm going to go ahead and vote for them because I like all the other things they want to do. I believe in, you know, I stand behind 99% of everything else they're going to do, but that one issue I don't like. But I hate to be a single issue voter. So I'm going to go along with the whole nuking thing. Great idea. Well, that's extreme. Yeah, it is. So is taking the life of a child. But I digress. I'm telling you, this party is nefarious. Now, I want to get into this week. I will be, I didn't have a show this morning, obviously, So what I want to do is get into the later on as the week goes on. I will be having a show every day. I had planned on having a show this morning, but I was so wiped out this morning. I just, I kept wanting to get down here and do the show. I was even at the headquarters today, and I didn't even get the show done there. So I'm doing it tonight. I'm going to post it tomorrow morning. Now, the rest of this week, I will be having shows, and there will be morning shows. And I'd like to delve into one of the topics I want to delve into. I'm not sure how far into it I will get or how many days it will last. But I want to talk about collectivism in general. You know, we talk about, well, Marxism and communism are not the same thing, or you know, communism and socialism aren't the same thing, whatever you want to call it. No, but collective, they are all collectivists. And in that ideology, how you implement collectivism, that's a whole other story. Now, theoretically, the early church was a collectivist society. However, it was a commune. They had communal living. That's where we get the word communist. But it was a free society. In other words, you volunteered for this. It was not mandated to be a part of the social structure of the day. You could walk away from it at any time you wanted to. You could just say, I don't want to do this. I'm walking away. That's the way the early church was established. And no one called anything their own. Everyone gave freely of everything that they had. Well, there's this little issue with Ananias and Sapphira. There's a little bit more going on there to that story. I'd like to put together the facts on that whole thing sometime and really delve into that, because there's a whole lot more into that story there, right there, than what you see on the surface. The biggest thing that they did was they lied to the Holy Spirit. That's what the biggest problem was there. But there was more going on there too. So I'd like to do a study on that sometime, well enough that I could actually articulate what was happening. So we come back to Chris Krebs. And, you know, look this guy up. Check him out. Check out his background. It's very, very... This guy's, you know, you could say, well, what are you talking about? This guy's a nobody. No, this guy's a somebody. A cybersecurity expert has to know how they do this stuff. Now, keep in mind, many, many years ago, in the early 2000s, and I think, of course, they were coming out and talking about it, so you know that they were doing this prior to the year 2000. They were doing this way back into probably the 80s and 90s, ever since the internet has been going on, since Al Gore, you know, invented it. They've been establishing ways to make things look like Russians are doing it. So they have Russian fingerprints on everything. Now, sometimes it is the Russians. But they made this announcement in early part of the century, this century. And they would talk about how they can make an email look like it came from Russians. Or that a hacker looked like Russian hackers. They could disguise things. They were doing this through IP adjustments and all kinds of pinging and all kinds of things that they were doing. But they have ways of doing it that you cannot detect it. This is a very dangerous place. When you start looking at technology right now with deep fakes, the whole thing of someone talking and making it look like someone's talking and they're putting words in their mouth, and it wasn't them at all, but it's a video of them saying something. This stuff is getting really freaky and a little bit disconcerting. Because of the potential that it could go to. And here we have this guy who happens to all of a sudden be in charge of cybersecurity right before the election. And he's overtly looks like a radical, like a hippie type guy. Now, when I first heard this guy speak, he spoke before a council of, there was a Senate hearing that Ron Johnson and a couple other people put together. I think Josh Hawley also were involved in it. But they were investigating these guys, and they were having them come before the Senate and answer some questions. When I first heard him speak, I was like, this guy's a left-wing rattle. He's a leftist. I had no idea who he was or what he did. I just heard him speak. I didn't know what his credentials were or what he was about. Everything as I listened to him speak, I just knew the guy was a leftist. Now, he may not be a, quote, leftist in that regard, as he may not be registered as a Democrat. But he definitely, at the very least, this guy is a GOP establishment person. But I don't even think he's devout in that. I think he's actually he's more of a mole. I just don't see, in this polarized atmosphere that we have right now, especially in the news media, how they would accept with open arms, as an authority on any subject, a Republican. Even a GOP establishment Republican, like Liz Cheney. They really don't accept her. They were giving her pats on the head, but now you watch what happens to her. If she said, well, I'm not going to be a Republican. If he runs, I'm not going to be a Republican anymore. Oh, that's, well, great. Why don't you just leave now? So you don't really stand for the Republican Party and the value. You don't really want to uphold those things that you claim that you are willing to fall on your sword for. What are you going to become then, Liz? Are you going to become a Democrat? A right-wing Democrat? Is that what you're going to be? Going to call yourself a conservative Democrat? What are you going to do, Liz? You're not going to operate within the party of the things that you believe. Because guess what? You don't really believe those things. Well, I didn't leave the Republican Party. It left me. Well, then where are you going to go, Liz? You're going to become an independent? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to start caucusing and trying to get in with... And I'll guarantee you, I know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. You will be belittled and vilified in every way, shape, and form. You're able to go on CNN and MSNBC right now, and they treat you like, oh, this is a Republican, and she's coming out, even she's coming out against Trump. It's just a wackadoodle world, folks. You got people like Romney, Cheney, and this Kinzinger guy. And there's more of them. There's a lot more of them. They're just the ones that are very outspoken and trying to make a name for themselves in this point. There's others that are trying to be very quiet about it. And I've had this conversation I know a lot of people in the Republican Party, or those who would vote Republican, even independents who would vote Republican, they don't want to see Trump run again because he's too divisive. It's too polarizing. And I kind of had that feeling as well, a little bit at first. And then then when I saw what they were starting to do with DeSantis, and what they were starting to do with everybody who's on the right, regardless of whether they support Trump or not, or what they'll say about Trump, they they've even been saying DeSantis is worse than Trump. A lot of people are pushing, you know, to get DeSantis into, you know, to vote to run for president. And the reality is they're already setting him up. Mike Pence, if you've ever heard Pete Buttigieg's interview, where he was talking about, well, if we get Trump out, then Pence is, this is back when Trump was still president. He said, well, if Trump, you know, if we get Trump out of office, then Pence is going to be the president. How do you feel about that? Oh, that's even worse. That would be even worse. Worse than Trump. Mike Pence. Ron DeSantis. Carrie Lake. Any of those people. They will treat them worse. We will lose our democracy if those people are elected. Our democracy is at risk. That's all we hear about. These are pretty serious words to be speaking just because you and your party doesn't win. That the it's one thing to say, well, we're going to lose all of our social programs. We're going to lose all of our platforms. No, they're talking about democracy itself. The very fabric of our nation here. I realize it's a republic. We use a democratic process to elect representatives. You see, basically the battle's already been won in the Constitution being given to the people. Now we have to flesh it out. We have to manifest it by living out the self-government that we were given. And when we cease to do that, when we just want to abdicate our responsibility of self-government, then somebody else has to do that for us. Then we have to have mom and dad up there. Our politicians all of a sudden become our parents, telling us what we can and can't do, controlling every aspect of our lives. PayPal recently decided they were going to get involved in this. Now, can you imagine? I think I've got a PayPal account. I don't know if it's even still active or not. I don't know if I could probably sign on there or not. I think I have like a dollar in it or something. But here's the sad part of this whole thing. If you have a PayPal account with like $20 in it, they can fine you $2,500 or $5,000 or whatever, $25,000, if you make a bad statement on social media. I don't know how they're going to do that. I don't know how they're going to monitor those things. Obviously, they're going to have to be in cahoots with some of the social media companies like Facebook and Twitter and all those things. But if you make a statement that they don't like or that they consider to be misinformation or racist or derogatory or hate speech, they're going to fine you. Next thing you know, you're getting a bill from PayPal. You know, you had $5 in your account. Next thing you're getting a bill for $2,500. Well, that's great. Now, supposedly they've walked this back. I guess today they're saying, we don't know how that wording got in there in our policy statement. We're not sure how that got in there. Because I guess people were leaving in droves. People were pulling their money out right away and they're closing their accounts. They got deflated really fast. So all of a sudden they backtracked on that. Well, that was a mistake. No, I don't think it was. They were trying to slide that in there and think that nobody would notice. You see, this is what they do in China. You have a social score. And you can or you may or may not be able to do certain things in society depending on what your social score is. You know, apply for a new home? Well, guess what? Your social score is too low. You can't have a new home. You're going to be on a 10-year wait instead of a 7-year wait. Or a 20-year wait. Or not at all. That's the way this stuff works. And it becomes this nanny state where the nanny is all of a sudden not so fun. It's the evil nanny. Should be a movie. So that's where we are. Well, that's not where I am. I'm right now I'm at my house, but that's where the nation is. I'll make this, I'll keep the show short this evening. Just because I know that tomorrow morning it's going to be early when I post it. This is going to be posted. I'm going to post it tonight, but it will not be actually available. It'll be shown as posting probably at 6 o'clock in the morning, something like that. 6:05. We'll make it 6, maybe 5:59. How about that? That'd be good. That's when it's going to post. So good morning to you. And thanks for listening. Hey, thanks for subscribing. Thanks for sharing, downloading, responding, whatever you do with this show. I appreciate all of those of you who listen to this, listen to my rants, early morning rants, and listen to me sipping my water. You can probably tell my throat is a little bit dry. And been out burning stuff today. Probably had a lot of brush to burn. A lot of. Got about 7 acres here, and there's always something that's, some tree falling down or limbs on the ground. Picking up stuff and burning it. It's constantly happening. So that's what I've been doing. It's almost like a campfire here all the time. I've been thinking about doing that. Maybe a campfire, campfire at Kevin's house. Come on over. Get the guitar out, start singing some songs. Just have, anybody who wants to, they can just show up. I might do that. That's really been kind of boiling on with me, kind of percolating, you might say, over the last year or so, and I might just start doing that. I don't know. See how that works. Maybe this spring we'll start doing that here at the old homestead. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thank you for putting up with me, as they say. And I almost forgot I had the button. I had to push the button to get the bounce music. I don't get to do that when I'm on the road. I don't get to put the bounce music in there. Or the tag, what it called, the bumper music. That's what it's called. So I have to figure out a way to do that from my recording device, my mobile recording device. I'll figure it out. There's ways of doing it. I got a couple ideas. We'll get her done. Get her done. That's what we do here. Get her done. Folks, have a great day. Have a great rest of your week. And thanks for listening. Thanks for praying for our nation, praying for each other, praying for our leaders. So go out there and get yourself a cup of water. Just drink it. That's what you need to do. Yeah, just do that. God bless you. Have a great week. Take care.